8 of us that are here tonight. For all of you that know how to think, if you haven't yet figured it out, I actually try to teach you a way of thinking. So we're before we even read the text tonight, I'm going to show you how I think. I go to my house this week. Was it this week or last week? One of the two. I walk into the kitchen, and there's a puddle on the floor. I've heard people in this church think when they respond to biblical questions. Some people would think, probably was a tsunami. We have a lot of those around here. In the house, too. Or maybe it was an iceberg broke loose into my kitchen. Folks, when you learn to think, get rid of the stupid ideas. Don't be a stupid idea thinker. Think in a rational way. Tonight, we're going to talk about follow-up from this morning. This is Pastor Warren's thinking. I have this many books on divorce and remarriage. Most of them are books that I think they would believe if you found a puddle in the kitchen, it was a tsunami. It's like, where did they get this from? They go all over the Bible. They're upside down, backwards, inside out, and somehow this is the only biblical position. Actually, the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage is not a very difficult subject. It needs to be thought of like, Ron, if I saw a puddle in my kitchen, what do you think my first thought would be? Ron, the dog. My second thought would be somebody dropped a thing of ice on, you know, cube of ice. It melted. We didn't pick it up. I'm not thinking tsunami. Is it possible that it was a tsunami? Wow. Not very. Let's stand. We'll read Matthew 19 together. It's in your notes. You don't even need a Bible tonight, by the way. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. Remember, that's this morning. You know, coast doesn't mean water. It means border. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? I think we heard a lot of this morning. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Most of that's pretty straightforward. Verse 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Now, by the way, Moses did command to give a writing of divorcement, but the second half is not part of the command. He commanded the people when they did divorce someone, they did it properly so women weren't treated as disposable objects. It was done legally. But in the sense of there's no command to divorce, that part wasn't a truth. But, you know, just because it's not true doesn't mean people don't say it. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying. I love this phrase. By the way, the number one thing Pastor Warren will add to your thinking tonight. And by the way, this is the official teaching of the church, because this is the official teaching of the Bible, is stop trying to get people married. When I was in Bible college, everybody wants to be, you know, Cupid. And then you see the debacles from that. In my opinion, many people get married far too early. We continue. He said, all men or all people cannot receive this saving or save they to whom it is what? Given. He goes on to say, for there are some eunuchs, we'll talk about this meaning later, which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able, or she that is able to receive it, let him or her receive it. Tonight we're going to look at biblical options, biblical and other. And the other will be the last one. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I ask your blessings on this night. May this be a profitable night in Christ's name. Amen. How do we think about this? Now, I recognize that people's minds don't work the same way. Some of this is God-given. Some of this is training. Some of this is ability. But I think I start with what is absolutely the most highly probable and work out from there. So, you go to the doctor and you have a sore throat. The doctor looks at you, he or she doesn't think, cancer! Because he or she has seen one or two people with sore throat. Actually, they probably went to medical school. They probably studied this. They have probably seen hundreds of millions of people with sore throats. And everybody knows sore throats come from three sources. You either have an infection, less likely. You have an allergy, or you have a virus. You got three options. By the way, that's about 97%. So the doctor doesn't look at you and think, because you're special, you are the one exception on planet Earth. He or she is going to say, you're fitting those categories, and they're going to go through those doors, look at me, and go right down a path. Tim Duram, you are a carpenter and you work on buildings. Do you know, you don't know this, but you think exactly the same way. If you have a problem, you think of it in a very orderly way, but when it comes to the Bible, our minds are mush. I don't know why. So, what are the biblical options of this subject? Biblical options. The biggest area of disagreement I have is the first one. If I'm going to talk to a young, by the way, not if I am, Ray, I'm already talking to your two daughters. Tom, I'm already talking to your daughter. I'm talking to Carly right now in Bible. And I say all the time the same things. Carly, is this true? Nikki, is this true? The first thing I always recommend to young people is stay single. Get over getting married when you're 18. Or if you're really spiritual, when you're 14. We've had some of that here before too. Notice the text, please. Read with me again. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he saith unto them, all men or all women cannot receive this saying, save to them to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which are so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there are some eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him or her receive it. Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 7. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And that's talking about being sexually intimate, not bumping into a woman someplace. He says it's good. Verse 2 says, nevertheless. The King James translates this euphemistically. It's really because of all the immorality out there. Let every man, because of the multitudes of immoralities, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. Verse 7 says, for I would that all men were even as I myself, meaning single. But every man hath his proper gift of God. One after this manner, another after that manner. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. I have not written it. Someday I will write it. I believe 1 Corinthians 7, the first 17 verses, should have three words: good, better, best. It is good to be single. It is better to marry if you must. It is best to always follow what God has for you, whatever gifts and calling God gives to you. So in your notes, by the way, I'm going to say this. I don't look down on people that aren't married. I don't try to exclude them. I don't think they're second-class citizens. And I do not think our kinds of churches have done well with single people, because we don't know what to do with single people. Something must be wrong with them. Really? Let me ask you, something wrong with Paul? Yes or no? Something wrong with Jesus? It's the stupidest thing. The single life in your notes. The single life is given to some. Both Jesus says it in his own way and Paul says it. Paul says it very directly. It's a gift. Jesus says, to whom it is given. So both places we recognize this is something that is given to certain people. Next. Obviously, it is not given to all. And maybe I could say it's not even given to most people. But it is given to some. Next. I think this is very important. It might be given for a while or for a period of time. The rest of 1 Corinthians 7 discusses this in various ways and in broad ways. So I'm going to say that all again. It might be given for a while or for a period of time. Now, let's be real. Young people today, normally in our environment, we make sure our children have a lot of comforts. They don't have a big vision. If there's one thing, and by the way, I never had it at 18 years either. At 18 years old, I had no idea what I wanted to do. Some of that, I came from a blue-collar background and a blue-collar people. This is what we did where I was from. You graduated from high school, you went to work. Never thought about anything else. Here's the problem. I used in my Bible class, Atong, you have two lovely daughters that are very smart. So I talked to them directly. They're already heard this, so you're hearing it now. If those two lovely young ladies, they are pretty sure they want to minimally be a nurse. They've even thought maybe medicine. What do you tell somebody? By the way, you know why I'm preaching this? Because people listen to you're stupid. And you're not teaching and sharing the scripture with them. If those two beautiful girls want to become doctors, it is of necessity that they do not marry until they're, well, let's add it up. 18, Ron, how many years do you have to go to school? 4 years of pre-med, you're 22. 4 years of medical school, 26. You don't know after that. 3 to 5 years of residency, according to what your residency is. Is that about right? Some of those real weird ones, which means you're 80 by the time you get out of school. All right, so you're now minimum, look at me, minimum 29 years old. And you have allowed your children to think the number one goal in life is getting married. They'll never accomplish God's purposes. Now, can they get married before they get out of residency? I was saying some things. This old guy over here was there. Tim was there. I have worked with doctors in residency that work. Now, by the way, they pass laws, at least in some states. Used to be doctors would work 20 hours a day, every day in residency, some of them. I have had doctors walk into the laboratory standing up, sleeping. Is that good for your health? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why they do it, I don't know. But by the way, do you think you have time for marriage? Do you know what happens to the people that get married during that time? When they finally get out and get in their practice, they get divorced because they've developed habits that are not compatible with marriage. So, Atong, you have two beautiful daughters. They're smart. Both of them are smart. You're not the only ones. Brenna certainly has brains if she wanted to do that. Others do in that classroom. They have to know this means something. This means no dating,
for a long time, at least halfway through residency, 27, 28 years old.
Every time I tell kids, Ron, this in Bible, I have all those kids that say, oh, I want to be a doctor. They all of a sudden say, oh. What did you think? They've just handed out slips? By the way, are you all with me? Look at me, folks. This is the Bible teaching. So you as a person in Awana Sunday School, this is what you talk to kids about, not religion, the Bible. Let's continue. The single life, it's given to some, not given to all or even most. It might be given for a while or a period of time. You understand, medicine's one of those areas. Law would be one of those areas. Anything that requires you to go pretty far down the road, you just don't have time to get married. If you're going to get a PhD pretty much in any field, it's going to be real hard to get married. And by the way, I do expect our kids to go there. I'm sorry, John, you don't have me in class. I don't care about your grandparents or your parents. If you have a brain, I expect you to use it and go someplace. And that's going to be requiring more than playing video games and watching television. And it might, John, require you to give up something for a few years. Amen? Of course, if we're good with Welcome to Walmart, are you good with that? I'm not. Look at me. I'm not. I'm not comfortable with your children being nothing. If you are, there's plenty of little redneck churches around here you can feel comfortable in. Uh-oh. Next. I believe the single life can be given. I missed up a word. It can be given for. Frenchie did that to me. For various reasons. It could be we are born that way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, he says very clearly that some were born eunuchs. So it's possible that a person is born that way. Next, it could be in some way or another a person is made that way or forced to be that way for various reasons. That's what Jesus means when he says in John 19, there are some eunuchs which are born so from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. Now, everyone look at me. I'm not going to get into the gritty details. Right now in China, I think some of you know this because some of you actually know something about the world. There are somewhere between 30 and 40 million men in China that cannot possibly get married. Anybody know why? There's not enough women in China. They have not allowed girls to be born. 30 to 40 million men will never be married in China. There's all kinds of things that can happen. It could be that for whatever reason, you kind of wanted to get married and nobody wanted you. I can get that. I've had people talk to me, you know, I just had a friend that lost his wife, and I thought to myself, the thought of dating at 59 years old, first of all, my first thought for me is, and by the way, I'm being serious as opposed to you, who in the world would want me? I don't like people. I like to read all the time. I like to be by myself. I never want to talk about emotions. Who in the world? I could see being single. For obvious reasons. Next, it is also, some might be single because they have chosen to do so. Look back up at Matthew 19, would you, in the same little section. Jesus says, there are some eunuchs which were born so from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. In some way they either forced or just didn't have the opportunity. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. I will say this, my wife knows this person well. She's with the Lord now. One of the best women we ever had in our church in St. Louis, never married.
And it wasn't because she was ugly, and it definitely wasn't because she was dumb. Back in the days when women teachers tended to be single, she chose to be single, and Miss Ellison was offered to be married when she was, and she was, folks, in her 80s, she was still quite attractive for a woman 80s. But in her 20s or late 20s or early 30s, I think the guy was a lawyer. He wanted to marry, have children, and he said, when we marry, you'll no longer teach. And she said, she never married. By the way, some people say, God has called me to do some things. And for me to accomplish those things, I will be single. And for you and I, if someone in this church is single, we should see that. Look at me. That should be the first way we look at life. It's okay to be single. It's fine. Not a problem. Especially if God has called them to do so. Lastly, it can only be received as a gift. And I think the person that is dealing with this needs to see this as God's gift to them. Either God's gift to them for a period of time, maybe for a lifetime, but at least for a period of time. Both Jesus and Paul say as much. All men cannot receive this saying save them to whom it is given. Paul says, but every man hath his proper gift of God. So this is a gift. Number two, God's original intent. Marriage, no divorce, no remarriage. This is the two biggest ones to me are the first two. When I think of marriage, look up here, folks, this is where I begin. I think there should be quite a few people single. There's where I differ from people. I think in America, we've been shoving kids into getting married and marriage, and we know how that's been working. I think a lot more people should be single until they're prepared. If your child comes to my Bible class, they're going to hear it over and over and over. If you come from a crappy home, don't you dare get married. We have one girl in my Bible class that wants to get married right now. Sorry, you girls know who it is, so I'm not giving away a secret. And she is the only girl that should not even consider getting married. Because people that come from bad homes, what do? I hate my home, I want to get married. Because I'm unhappy, and marriage, it's going to make me happy. By the way, one unhappy person plus another unhappy person equals two unhappy people. Point number three, I don't need to say anymore. We talked about this morning. The fallback position. The fallback position is number three. I believe this is much more important than many of us consider. The fallback position is divorce and no remarriage. Luke, by the way, folks, I want you to notice carefully so that next time we discuss this, you have an intelligent answer as opposed to religion. The sin in the Bible is always in the remarriage. I'll say it again. The sin in the Bible is always in the remarriage. Now you're going to say it with me. The sin in the Bible is always in the remarriage. How do I know that? Read every text. Every text says it. Luke 16, 18. Whosoever putteth away his wife, what? And marries another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her that is put away from her husband, committeth adultery. The problem is always in the remarriage. Mark 10. Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. 1 Corinthians 7:10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, I want everyone to look at me. There's four kids in my family. I think you know that. I have an older sister, Rita. I have a brother, Bill. I have me. I have a little sister. My older sister is widowed and divorced. Her first husband was worthless, On a scale of 1 to 10, he was a negative 2. He died June 13, 1975, drunk in a car wreck as he was beheaded. In a car, drunk. Got it? That's the day I joined the Navy, by the way. Her second husband could not control finances, would lie to her about money, and would gamble their entire life away. And by the way, you don't know my older sister, but she's good with money. She's very good with money. And he would gamble everything away because he never met a dollar he couldn't spend on something. Gambling was his big habit. She got divorced. My older sister, if I brought her right here, and I would do it if she was here, said to me, "Ralph, I will never remarry because I'm not very good at picking husbands." And you know what I told her? That's a biblical position. Get divorced, stay single, do right. I have an uncle that's been married 3 times. My Uncle Gail. Most of my mom's family were married once forever. But Gail's been married 3 times. His younger brother, Rollin, I mentioned this morning, my favorite of the uncles, said in front of the whole family one day, says, "Gail, if you ever get married again, we're choosing. You're not." By the way, I think we make a big mistake when we think marriage is some kind of special place. Here's the bottom line. As we walk out of here tonight, it's okay to be single. The other main position is marriage, no divorce, no remarriage. The third, the fallback position, if a person gets divorced, frankly, they should stay single most of the time. Most of the time, people don't do well on number 2, 3, or 4. As my good friend Pastor Allen said, this is only good for Frenchie, Ron, people like that age. Carrie Allen said if Elizabeth Taylor had lived to be 200, the only difference is she would have been married 16 times and not 8. Why? And then there was Mickey Rooney. Frenchie married more often than that. Number 4. This is where, by the way, you notice where I start. Look up here. We begin with the single life. And the single life is good. Yes. Then we go to God's primary position, his original intent. And then we go to the fallback position. The last thought on your mind ought to be, how can I get out of a marriage? Or really, most people don't really want to get out of a marriage. They really want to get remarried. You heard the joke, didn't you? The wife was asking her husband, "If I died, would you remarry?" By the way, that's a stupid question. Why would you think of that? Why would you think about, if I die, will you? That's weird to me. But the wife wants, you know, you're having that deep conversation. "So if I died, would you get remarried?" And the guy's like, I don't know. "No, come on. Would you get remarried?" And he's like, "I guess." Well, how does that make her feel? She asked the question, and now he's dead. Then she said, if you remarried, would you let her have my jewelry? He's like, And then she, after getting more angry, she says, "If you remarried, would you let her have my car?" And this went on for like an hour. And the poor guy, by the way, he should have said, "I think I hear the phone. I think I have an emergency call." It finally got to the very end of the conversation, and she said, "If you remarried, would you let her use my golf clubs?" And the husband said, "No, she's left-handed." I got you on that one, didn't I? Can I be honest with you? We are stupid people. This is what you ought to plan on doing, folks. Look at me. Stay single, and when you get married, stay married. And if you don't stay married,
Stay single when you get divorced, if you have to. That's just directly from the scripture. Number four, the fourth, and by the way, this is way back down the list. To me, the first two are the most important. The third one is rare, and the fourth one is very rare, are the exception. You notice I underline exception and not the S, because I'm not sure there are two exceptions or just one. But this is divorce and remarriage for very limited reasons. Very limited reasons. Up until 1969, Champagne, what year were you born? Seriously, 83. Up until 1969 in the United States, Champagne, in almost every state, in 1969 in California, the governor signed a law into effect that then swept the nation in just no time, called no-fault divorce. Before that, if a person got divorced in these said United States, you had to be able to prove or demonstrate one of two things. Either, number one, your spouse was cheating on you and you had to either prove it, or they had to admit it in the court of law, or number two, abandonment. Now, the reason I'm not sure these are different, because I believe in the biblical world and in all parts of the world, people abandon one family for another one. So I tend to think these end up being the same, but they come from the scripture. Matthew 5, verse 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. What in the world is fornication? Fornication is simply the Greek word porneia. We get pornography from it, but it is simply the broadest term for immorality. If you put away your wife except for that purpose, that cause, you cause her to commit adultery. Why? Because it's assumed she's going to get remarried. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery, with exception of the exception. Matthew 19:9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. Again, porneia, it's the broad word. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Charles Ryrie and all of these guys take this word, bounce all over the known world, chase it all around, and the next thing you know, it's like, fornication doesn't mean fornication. It means marrying your sister or something. Here's what fornication means: immorality. You can write this down in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Fornication is having sex with your stepmother. In Jude, it's verse 6 or 7. Fornication is having homosexual relations. Fornication is the broad word. So if a couple is married and one person decides to go do their own thing, that person has the right to divorce and remarry. Yes, they do. By the way, they're not commanded to do so. They have the option. 1 Corinthians 7. Paul says, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord, meaning that Jesus hadn't talked about this question. If any man, if any brother, have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. This is the question: what if you're married to an unsaved person? By the way, are you supposed to marry an unsaved person? No, but sometimes you marry a person thinking they're a believer, and you wake up one day and realize, not so. It goes on to say, and the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Stay together. Verse 14 tells you why. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. That marriage to, by the way, right back there where Mike Rock is sitting, everybody look. Today, were they there or were they right behind you? There is a man from India. Everybody know them? And the son. The wife is a Hindu.
To this point, she will not come to a Christian church. He just got saved in recent year or two. I'm not sure the son is saved. What should he do with his wife? He's now saved and she's not saved. He should stay with her. Why? She'll have a hundredfold better opportunity of getting saved being married to him than in any other case. There is some kind of effect we have within a marriage if you're doing right on an unsaved person. That's the point. Verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let them, what? Sometimes an unbeliever doesn't want to stay with a believer. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. I say in your notes, this assumes people who divorce almost inevitably remarry. This assumes that. Next, the problem really is the remarriage and not the divorce. For my reading of Scripture, and I would challenge anybody to challenge this, of the text in the Scripture, the problem is always the remarriage, not the divorce. Because it assumes if you get divorced, you're getting remarried. Now, I'm not recommending you get divorced, but the problem is the remarriage. What we probably should do is have Rick Melvin come back on a Sunday night and let him give testimony to his own family. I don't know, has Rick ever done that in this church setting? Because Rick's mom and dad got pregnant while they were in high school. Both of them were married three times. The dad has been dead now for 4, 5, 6 years, and the dad's younger than me. And Rick said he grew up on both homes with mom and dad having men or women in and out of the house while both of them would claim to be Christians.
Rick is the only sane person in the whole group. No wonder. Let's go back to this. People who divorce almost inevitably remarry. The problem really is in the remarriage and not the divorce. Remarriage should not be the first choice. Friend, if you're getting divorced, let's say your spouse does the unthinkable and you think you need to get divorced. I always question that because usually what's going on is I want to get rid of this one so I can get that one. And that's not a biblical position. Shouldn't be the first choice in anybody's mind. Next. Remarriage can only be if there is an exception. Meaning some sort of immorality that goes on or abandonment or maybe those are the same. Remarriage is never commanded. There is no place in the Bible that commands you to get remarried. Well, next and last here, remarriage is only allowed. I have the question in your notes. I won't chase it any further. How many exceptions are there?
I would say that most traditional Christians believe there are two exceptions. At this stage of my life, I think there's probably one. Because I think most people that abandon a spouse, they abandon that spouse for another spouse. But we'll say there's at least two, but they're very closely connected.
We come to number five. Everybody see number five? The modern view. Divorce and remarriage for what? Everyone look at me and I'm done. That sweet little Christian woman that used to come to this church and sleep, her and her husband, every Sunday morning, thinking they were doing God a favor, left this church primarily because Pastor Warren would not countenance her counseling her own family members to get divorced for not biblical reasons. By the way, people come here and don't come here for many reasons. Do you know that? There's a lot more to be said, but I don't have a voice. You notice how many verses are under point number five, Ron? Point number five is not a biblical position. Don't hold it. Let's pray.
Father, I ask your blessings on tonight as we have tried to just look